He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you want straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince Amuka Maka 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 Maka.
Intro this podcast, so let's just get to the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome on Monday, June 30th. It's Fantasy Baseball Today, CBSSports.com. Adam Azer here with Scott White, Michael Hurkum. What should I lead with?
Adam, you are the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups guy, right?
Yeah.
That's you, right?
Love them.
Peanut Butter M&Ms, they're the truth, man. If you like Reese's
Herc, they're the same thing as Reese's Pieces.
No, they're not.
They're better. They're better, man. They're the truth.
There's a subtle difference.
Oh, subtle difference.
Do you like them too, Scott?
Not especially, but
they're fine.
Different.
I'm getting hooked on them.
You gotta admit they're different.
That's what we're leading with.
They're
huh?
bigger.
Yeah, I know, but that's all. Basically, it's the same candy, and M&M's was like, oh, let's make them slightly different so we don't get
well,
sued.
Well, they're putting everything in M&M's now. Coconut, birthday cake.
Yeah, I know.
No way, really?
They raspberry? Yeah. Raspberry's a unique flavor.
That's
peanut butter and jelly. Yeah.
Come on, that's
anchovies.
Not true. I would not. All right, think of one thing you'd like to have in an M&M and tell me what it is.
Butterfinger.
Just chocolate. Not very, very creative.
Butterfinger.
Butterfinger.
That's my favorite thing.
That's not bad. Huh. All right, I'll think about it.
That's Nestle and
Nutella.
Mars crossing over.
I'll go Nutella. How about emailers, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. For tomorrow's show, email us what you'd like to have in your M&Ms. That could be fun.
You guys have to let me know. I'm not on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, I will let you know. All right, so welcome, everybody. Let's get to it. I gave out the email address. Watch Fantasy Baseball Today later this afternoon. We'll have John Heyman on to help us out with all the closer stuff. There's a lot going on. We had the Pirates-Angels trade. We got Bill Osorio and Romo out. We got Jake McGee getting saves in back-to-back days. Joe Nathan struggling again. We have Mookie Betts being called up. We've got Jorge Polanco getting called up from Minnesota. We have Taijuan Walker starting tonight. We have Nate Freiman homering yesterday. We have a lot to get to. I have a movie review that I'd like to share with everybody in a little bit.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
No, I don't do spoilers. I'm not an inconsiderate person like you.
Was it Transformers? Didn't you want to see Transformers?
No, it's a movie that's already been out. Wow, okay. And I tweeted about it, so some of the listeners may already know. But anyway, let's get to it with the bullpen stuff. And we will go to the most added and most drop list eventually. You know how the Monday show works. A lot to get to over the weekend. All right, the Angels and the Pirates swapped Ernesto Friere and Jason Grilly. What does this mean?
Oh, I think for the Angels that Scott, you can take the Pirates, that they want Grilly.
All right.
I'm sorry, Scott was getting in there. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, buddy. No, it's fine. Go ahead.
For the Angels, I think they want Grilly to take over the closer's role because they like Joe Smith in that versatility. I mean, Joe Smith has been really good, but they, you know, Socha said earlier in the year, I want to move him around, so this trade means a lot for them, and hopefully Grilly gets back to that level.
Scott, you can take the Pirates.
Well, I don't think Friere. I mean, I think Friere's done as a relevant mixed league contributor because I don't see him overtaking Mark Melanson or anything there. But I'm a little more interested in the Angels situation because they haven't thrown Grilly right in as the closer. It still looks like it's Joe Smith right now, and I know Grilly. But he took the loss yesterday, right?
He did, but it wasn't his fault. It was yesterday. It was entirely Howie Kendrick's fault. Basically, just to set the scene, he gave up a leadoff walk, I think, and then ground ball right to short. There was one out. Runner on first, one out. Taylor made double play to end the inning. Ibar throws to Kendrick, goes off his glove. Runners on first and third, and then there was a walk-off single.
I crammed all my box score checking into one day, so I may need to ask you to remind me which day something happened.
I got your back, Scotty White.
But yeah, it hasn't happened yet. I don't think you should drop Smith is the short answer there.
He said before yesterday's game that it's a mechanical issue. He even admitted it. He says, yeah, I'm still working through some issues. So, you know, that's why they haven't thrown him into ninth inning role yet.
Sergio Romo is out as the Giants closer. Would you guys rather own, obviously you'd rather own Grilly over Friere. Would you rather own Grilly or Santiago Casilla?
I'd rather own Grilly. because I do think it is inevitable he does take over the role.
I agree with Scott.
Is he good enough, though? And Kaseya has been brilliant this year.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Scott.
I don't buy the Affelt thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd be a long-term thing where they're splitting saves. I'm not sure it's a long-term thing either in the role, because it's not like he said Sergio Romo is out of the mix altogether. He's talked about using him in eighth innings for a while, and he made it sound like it was just something they need to do right now until Romo gets back on track.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd probably own him over all of the above.
Romo?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you drop Joe Smith for Santiago Kaseya?
No.
No.
All right. Would you rather have Jake McGee than any of the guys we've talked about? He has saves in back-to-back games. Balfour struggled again. It just seems to make sense.
I mean, it could be the most exciting change at closer since Sean Doolittle.
Yeah, I mean, it seems exactly like Doolittle.
Dominant stuff, dominant numbers. Team's not as good as the Rays aren't as good as the A's.
How many lefties do the Rays have in their bullpen? Because I think that's going to be...
Well, originally it was just one, but Al pointed out, and actually he pointed it out because Joe Maddon said it, that Jake McGee's actually better against righties than lefties.
Okay.
So why would they save him for lefties? If he's better against righties, he's probably good against both.
He's very good against both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's happened back-to-back days, it could be imminent. I'm not dropping Romo for him. And I probably wouldn't drop Grilly for him, but the others I would.
Okay. Yeah. Right now, lefties are batting 189 against McGee, and righties are batting 145 against McGee. All right, and then let's talk about the White Sox bullpen. Ronald Belisario is out as the White Sox closer. So who should we pick up?
I was going after Zach Putnam.
Yeah, I picked him up too. But that's probably because... No, I would have taken him over Petrichka anyway. But yeah, all right. Why Putnam?
Well, because he got the save most recently. That's really... And Petrichka, since he got the save earlier in the weekend, has not worked... safe situations. It seems like they've used him in other roles.
Well, okay. Yesterday was interesting because he pitched the ninth yesterday, right?
4-0 game, yeah.
But it was 2-0 at the start of the ninth. And I was watching the Blue Jays broadcast, and they didn't show who was warming up.
Nah.
So I don't know if he was warming up in a 2-0 game. He probably was. I don't want to spend. It just makes sense because it was 2-0 going into the ninth. Then it became 4-0 going into the bottom of the ninth, and then Petrichka came in and pitched a scoreless ninth inning.
You said his name two different ways. You gotta.
It's either Petrichka or Petrichka.
All right, I can go either way. I'm safe.
Petrichka. What did I say?
Petrichka.
I thought it was Petrichka.
I heard it as Petrichka.
We'll just call him Jake P. until Scott looks it up.
All right, well, it doesn't matter.
But my thing with Jake P. is that he's got... high walk rate, and I think that's why they're a little bit concerned.
They all have high walk rates at that moment. Yeah, no, that's another reason why I went with Putnam. Is he the lowest on this closer food chain here that we've talked about?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So
it looks like Petrichka.
So you got to write the first time.
That's right. That's why I said Petrichka.
There you go.
But I heard it as Petrichka.
All right. Yeah.
I think I'm close enough to... to be legit.
Hey, Herkton Phonics worked for you, all right?
All right, those are your major closer things. Also, Hector Rondon gave up a run in a non-save situation Saturday. Joe Nathan gave up a home run. He's allowed an earned run in 3 straight outings. Aroldis Chapman blew a save, whatever. Sean Doolittle blew a save, stopping a streak of 26 2/3. K-Rod blew a save. He's given up 3 home runs in his last 7 games. Soria had a bad weekend. After allowing 1 earned run in 22 appearances, he gave up 4 on Friday and then 1 more on Sunday. And Cishek had a bad weekend after 10 straight outings without an earned run, and Addison Reed got a save at San Diego. We've been watching that situation. Anything to comment on with these situations here?
Do you know what you should do on Mondays now? Is who didn't blow a save over the weekend? That list would be much shorter.
I guess so. any other moves that we should make based on what we saw with those relievers I just mentioned?
Not the really I can think of. You know, the thing with Soria is that the first one was really in a non-save situation. And it kind of reminds me of Koji Uehara a few weeks ago where he had a few bad outings. his numbers were so low. I mean, look at I'm going to mess up his name. Is Gene Machi? For the Giants?
I think it's Maki. I don't know.
Yeah, his numbers were so low, and now he's going through a bit of a market correction. I mean, you know, it just seems like the baseball gods are...
Machi.
All right. So the baseball gods are just kind of like, hey, you know, you're not supposed to be this low. I'm not too worried about Soria.
Baseball Reference adding pronunciation, it's like they're taking over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just huge. The only other thing I want to touch on is Joe Nathan, guys. Should we pick up Jabba Chamberlain if we need closers?
You know, I think I'd go after Neil Ramirez before I went after Jabba Chamberlain.
Okay.
Because you did mention Rondon in there.
Yeah. All right, then. Call-ups. Mookie Betts played right field last night, went 1-for-3, and was caught stealing at the Yankees. They say no power, really, but...
Oh, he has some power.
Yeah, really.
That's the Buster Olney was talking about it quite a bit. He's got not going to hit for power, but they got to get him
in
the lineup.
He means home run power.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll have Shane Victorino-like power.
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah. And steals.
And he's shortstop eligible.
Should have great on-base ability.
I thought second base.
Shortstop
eligible?
Yeah,
he's second base eligible, and obviously he's playing outfield now.
Yeah.
My bad.
I had this question, Scott, over the weekend during a radio interview. Should we pick him up in like 12-team formats? And I said, here's my thing. You know, we've talked about this many times, guys. Second base has gotten so deep in a 12-team format, you usually don't like to carry two second basemen. However, when he gains outfield eligibility, Ben Zobrist part two? I mean, that's what somebody brought up to me, and I was like, you know, I could see that.
But outfield's deep too.
Outfield is deep too, but you have that flexibility. Say your second baseman's got five games, got bad matchups. In 12-team formats, I am entertaining the idea, if Mookie Betts plays regularly, that he should be picked up.
Would you rather own right now middle infield Mookie Betts or Brad Miller?
I'd rather own Brad Miller.
I thought it's Rad Miller now.
It is Rad Miller.
Yeah, I actually didn't pick up Mookie Betts in any of the standard size leagues. I already owned him in a couple deeper leagues. Just hoping he'd get called up at some point. But I didn't pick him up in any, partially because of what Herc said about second base being deep. But there's a couple other reasons. One, we don't know how long he's actually going to be up and playing every day. The only reason he came up is because Shane Victorino suffered a setback in the minors.
Here's another thing. I'm sorry. They know Brock Holt's not going to do what he keeps doing. I mean, he may hit for average, but he's not going to be the guy he's been.
I know, you know. But I mean, there's no guarantee Mookie Betts is going to take off. He started this year at Double-A and kind of got sped through. And honestly, at least at Double-A, it was encouraging that he kept it up at Triple-A. But at least at Double-A, his numbers looked a lot like Jackie Bradley's looked at that level. And obviously, that hasn't gone well. Now, I do think Mookie Betts is better than Bradley, but if you asked me 2 years ago, let's say they were playing there together, and you asked me that same question 2 years ago, it might not have been so obvious.
Well, I guess thing with
he's 50% owned.
Yeah, with Betts is that at the beginning of the year they said we're not rushing this kid. He's going to stay down there. He's going to progress, and he progressed so quickly that they couldn't keep him down there anymore.
So you'd rather have Brad Miller?
Yeah.
Scott, how about you?
Getting back to the question.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
No,
I dropped Joe Panik for Mookie Betts.
That's a good move.
That would be fine, yeah.
Would you drop Xander Bogaerts for Mookie Betts?
No way.
Somebody actually wrote to Twitter on me about that. I still would. Xander's my guy, so I'm sticking with Xander.
How about the amount of money that Scott White spent on Xander Bogaerts? I had to rub my eyes and make sure I was reading it correctly.
$94?
How did somebody drop Xander Bogaerts?
He shouldn't have been dropped. I agree. But you spent $28.
Yeah.
$100 budget. You have $20 left now, which I love.
$100 bids allowed.
I love that because since Scott and I are in a fierce battle in that league. Now I feel like I can save my money a little bit more.
Xander's going to put me over the top.
I mean, look, the truth is Bogaerts sat yesterday with Betts. I mean, Stephen Drew seems like the guy who should sit. And if the Red Sox, I hope that they put Bogaerts back at short. It seems like his slump has coincided with his position move. But Bogaerts has been truly terrible lately, this whole month, striking out a ton.
He was truly terrible before he went on that hot streak, so.
No, he actually wasn't. He was reaching base at a high rate, hitting for a decent batting average. He's been in a slump recently. But I don't really take it as any more than that. This guy was the number two prospect in all of baseball coming into the season. And for the most part, exceeded everybody's expectations for the first 2.5 months.
$28.
Or 2 months.
I like it.
I didn't even bid on him, but I should have.
Yeah.
I still haven't answered your Brad Miller question. Yes, Brad Miller, for the fact that coming into the season, he was a top 10 shortstop, and I think he can get back to that level. So that's why I like Brad Miller.
You know, one thing about roto leagues with like a $100 budget or whatever, you should spend your money early, I think, for the most part. Not all of it, but people give up, especially if you have $0 bids. Well, people give up, and, you know, like I think I have like $38 left. I have like $40 left in that league. You have 20.
It makes a big difference, too, and I'm just noticing here. I think I first noticed last year. It seems to make a big difference weekly fab versus daily fab.
This is daily fab.
There's so much competition every week when you've had the whole week to these waiver claims, let them pile up, that you can't be quite as aggressive on your favorite ones. You really need to pace yourself a little more with your fab budget. But in daily leagues, I agree with you because there's always going to be somebody more on the ball and people, good pickups available at discounts if you're quick to them.
All right, more call-up stuff. Buster only speculating that the Red Sox kind of shaking things up, and if A.J. Pierzynski doesn't start hitting, he could be replaced by Christian Vasquez, a AAA catcher for the Red Sox. Dallas Buehler was called up by the Cubs and gave up one run on 4 hits in 6 innings, and it was an unearned run against Washington. Does he matter?
Not to me.
No.
Okay. Taijuan Walker expected to start tonight for Seattle, and he should be a 2-star pitcher this week. Start or sit?
I'd start him. 2 starts. Maybe if it was just one, I'd give him a chance. I'm losing my voice here, Herc.
Yeah,
you need to talk
I'm sorry.
More.
I own him in a bunch of leagues, and I'm starting him in every league, so. Yeah.
Oh, are you, Herc?
Yep. Yes, I am.
Because you own him in a league with me, and we haven't made that decision yet. I'd appreciate if you consulted me first.
Listen, he makes all these decisions. Sometimes I just sneak him in there.
All right, he's got Houston and the White Sox on the road, Taijuan Walker.
We can take Vogelsong out. That's your boy.
Yeah, okay. Minnesota called up shortstop Jorge Polanco. He went 1-for-2 with a walk and a double and an RBI, batting 9th at Texas. Does he matter?
Scott, I'm going to step in here and save your voice because I'm going to go off.
You.
Remember how I was animated when he got called up the other day. I said, why, Minnesota? Why? 21 errors in 64 games at shortstop for Class A Fort Myers. And he was hitting like 278. This came out of completely left field. I was reading Ron Gardenhire's quotes yesterday. They love this kid's potential. He's 20 years old. He's not ready for the majors. I still can't figure out why they brought him up.
Well, it can't be good news for Danny Santana. That's all I'm thinking.
Well, yeah. He's
on the DL
now?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not good for Pedro Florimon. he can't hit.
Well, Nunez is on the DL.
Yeah.
And Santana's on the DL. How did I not know that?
I guess they really have nobody else. But just to get back to it, listen, this kid maybe down the road has a lot of potential. Right now, I just don't see him making an impact.
All right, how about Chris Owings going on the DL with a shoulder injury, and Nick Ahmed called up, and he went 1-for-3 in his major league debut, batting 8th for the Diamondbacks. Does Nick Ahmed matter?
I did put in a claim for him in an NL-only league, and I looked to see if he was available in my 2014 mixed league. He was not. It's a dynasty league, so there's minor leaguers in there. But he's kind of a semi-prospect. He came over. He was part of the Justin Upton deal, came over from the Braves organization, and was terrible last year, but at AAA, PCL, Adam Eaton hits .450 there. He put up good numbers. Okay. Ahmed did.
Yeah, I mean, his thing is, he's a strong defender. He reminds me of a poor man's Tommy La Stella, that he doesn't walk as much as La Stella, but he hits for a decent average. And I'd just like to point out, what school do you think he went to?
UConn.
UConn, baby.
The U.
Everybody went to UConn now.
Powerhouse.
And Nate Friedman was called up by the A's. He said he changed his stance. He was hitting very well in AAA with a lot of home runs, and he homered off Andrew Heaney yesterday. Does Nate Friedman matter?
I wonder what his stance looks like now. He had a pretty funky one.
Did
before.
He?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I kind of liked it. I'm sad to hear this.
I saw 4 innings of Andrew Heaney, and I thought he looked great. I was very surprised. I was just very surprised to turn on the TV later and see the score was 4-3. I was like, what the hell happened? Heaney actually went 5 2/3 without allowing a run, and then he gave up 4 straight hits, including a 3-run homer in the 6th.
Kyle Blanks went on the DL, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just a short term. He's replacing. He's filling the Blanks role for now.
Nice.
Scott, the way you said Fryman.
Did you get you're filling the Blanks thing? That you said, Phil?
No. That was really no pun intended.
But, Scott, the way you said Fryman made me think it was like he's a cousin of Duffman.
Fryman. Oh, yeah. All right, who are some must-add guys for you over the weekend? Must-adds. Make any big moves? For me, I'm going to be a little bit more bullish on Santiago Casilla. I dropped Grant Balfour for him, but I'm, you know, that's a league where it's like the second one potential closer goes on waivers. Everybody's in after him.
Yeah, no, I put in a $6 bid for him. I think it was in a very deep league where I did that.
Your boy CJ?
Yeah, I picked him up too in one of our roto leagues. I was surprised he was actually on.
And by the way, Baseball Reference doesn't have a pronunciation of his name, so
it's Crone. I promise you.
And well, they should put it up there. I was going to go Cron.
CJ Crone is owned in about the same amount of leagues as Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
That sound crazy? Crone should be more owned?
Yeah, Crone should be more owned.
Yeah, I think so too, but I don't think it's crazy because when people see Mookie Betts has Ben Zobrist-like potential.
All right, I'm just saying,
Yeah. Your
opinion.
No, I would go with CJ Crone.
All right, well, other must-adds?
Not must-adds, but two guys I think fantasy owners need to give a little more attention to. Lucas Duda, in his last, 14 games, he's 353, 411, 725, and 1.136. 4 homers, 7 doubles, 10 RBI. Over his last 31 games since the hitting change, he's 291, 398, 612, and 1.010. And 23 Ks to 18 walks in that span. So it's not like he's all or nothing hitter. Fantasy production, you know, in points league's been up and down, but Roto, he's still top 60 there in the last 28 days, and I believe he's top 45 in head-to-head.
Kroner or Duda?
That's really, really close, but I'm going to give Crone the slight edge.
Duda or Singleton?
Duda.
All right. Okay. Duda or Teixeira?
Duda.
You agree?
No, Duda's behind all those guys for me.
You know, we talk about his hot streaks and the guy goes cold. He had a little bit of a slump during the stretch, right? But look at his numbers. Despite that 1 week slump, his numbers are still really good.
I just wonder about the home runs, because he hit like almost all of his home runs this year in like 5 days.
Right?
Recently, I don't feel like his numbers are well, he's hitting like in the 250 range, and he's playing. He's sitting a third of the time. So the home runs and RBI are lacking.
I'll tell you what, I was watching him yesterday against the Pirates, and he in the first at-bat, he almost went deep. He hit it to the deepest part of the ballpark in center field. And then two at-bats later, he hits a double just to the right of it. I mean, he's locked in right now.
Teixeira's been, obviously he's been in and out with injuries, but whenever he's played, he's put up good power numbers. He's locked in right now with the home runs too.
Yeah.
And he plays every day. And he has good plate discipline himself. Well, yeah, he walks a lot.
Yeah, I think, you know, Al and I were talking about this on Thursday. I'm one of those guys who's not afraid to chase the hot streak.
Okay.
And, you know, Lucas Duda, listen, I know Scott's a Lucas Duda, you know, aficionado here. He's burned you so many times. No,
yeah,
I get it.
It feels wrong saying anything bad about Duda, but.
I know, and I get it. I totally get it. I totally get the hesitation, and I understand why his ownership hasn't skyrocketed for fantasy owners. But it's been a month now, and this is pretty good numbers for a month-long period with a cold streak mixed in. So that's why I'm a little more encouraged. Listen, it's the hitting coach change, the hitting philosophy. He's going back to the guy he was in the minors, and this is the guy we've been hoping for since his rookie season.
In a little bit, we'll talk about Samardzija, Sonny Gray, Yordano Ventura, Alex Cobb, CJ Wilson, guys who have been struggling a little bit. Would you drop Shelby Miller at this point? I was this close to dropping Shelby Miller.
I said I would after his last start. That was the turning point for me. And this
one
was even worse. Yeah.
Oh, I gave him a free pass.
Well, it wasn't just that one start.
No, of course not.
It's been last 4 starts now, 17 strikeouts, 15 walks in 21 innings. And that's like...
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's worse. He's gotten worse instead of better. Just when it looked like there was a little bit of a good trend there, kind of like with Ubaldo Jimenez earlier in the year, he had this stretch of three or four starts. Well, hey, yeah, the control's coming around. And then it just, like, completely blew up after that. I feel like it's happening with Miller, too.
In a roto league, I'd have no problem dropping him. Where strikeouts are a category. Because that means that he's not giving you any strikeout all year long, basically.
Well, on along those lines, while we're on the Cardinals, because I wanted to ask this. I put in my notes, because I almost did it last night. Is Alan Craig droppable? I'm to the point where I was a 12-team league, and there's a lot of good options, like your boy CJ Krohn's out there. I didn't do it because Scott's in the same league, and I know if I did in a heartbeat, Scott would go pick up.
Was it a roto league?
Head-to-head.
There's no way I'd do it in head-to-head.
But. Why? I don't see a turnaround coming. Do you see a second half? I mean, I can't figure out if a second half turnaround's coming for this guy. There's nothing that points. He really hasn't gotten hot at all this year.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd disagree with that. I mean, I don't know that I'd agree with that. Let me look up. I got his game log open.
Well, you know, go ahead, Adam. Throw your opinion in, because I really want to know, because I came really close last night. All right. With as many options.
I don't think I'd drop him. Like, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd drop him for CJ Krohn.
So, his.
I already have JD Martinez, but I think I would have done it if JD Martinez was still out there. So,
I mean, look. May 9th, he's batting .291. The home runs, you know,
yeah,
three home runs and
189 at bats. Big deal, .291. We need a little power out of this guy.
Yeah, I know, but three home runs, 11 doubles. We need to see more power for sure. But I think between the track record and the fact that, yeah, there has been improvement over the course of this season. It's not like a Dominic Brown situation. I'd hold on to him.
But what's his upside? His upside is like...
His upside is... What was he drafted in, the fifth or sixth round?
That's what I'm saying. His upside is like fifth or sixth round, not first or second round or anything like that. So he's not an elite player.
That's very close.
Really?
Yes, very close.
Okay.
He's the kind of, you know, I have the two obvious section in the
I do.
Start and sit hitters column.
Sure.
Almost every week this season he's been in it. There have been a couple weeks where he dropped out. I think maybe he dropped out this last week. But, I mean, that just shows you it's not just us. Pretty much he's been started in more than 80% of leagues pretty much every week.
But that doesn't mean it's the right decision.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, let's say we're doing buy or sell, and it's CJ Krohn's home runs the rest of the season to Alan Craig's. And if I'm buying, CJ Krohn's going to hit more home runs, shouldn't I own him then?
Well, I think that's why I said not a roto. Home runs, I see Krohn outproducing Craig, but that's not
overall.
The only thing.
What happens?
That's why I asked you if it was roto, because if it was roto, I still would disagree with it. But I think it is a very safe bet. Krohn's going to hit more home runs than him.
But roto, you can afford to have Craig in your lineup because it's such a deep lineup. And head to head, it's a more shallow lineup.
In head to head, Krohn walks so rarely. Like, I'm not sure he's even worth owning.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the depth of your points lead.
Yeah.
When we say head-to-head, we're talking points in this scenario.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
All right, let's move on, guys. We have like five pages of notes to get to here.
Okay.
And Adam worked hard on it.
And my quick movie review, since it's wasting time. I watched the movie Her this weekend. Did you guys see it?
Yeah, it's been sitting on my entertainment center for like 2 weeks now from Netflix.
Yeah. I would burn it. Throw it in the garbage and never waste your life on it.
Jeff Tobin loved it.
It's the five most boring movies I've ever seen. It's 1 through 5 on the most boring movie ever list.
Wow.
As I said on Twitter. Sorry for reusing it.
Sounds like Robin Williams in 8mm. Was it the one he was in the photo guy? That was a really bad one.
8mm, I think, was the
Nicolas
Cage.
What was the, I don't know. This is a real bad
a
movie.
A lot of people like the movie Her. So yeah. I guess I would recommend seeing it. I'm actually interested to know what you think, because Scott and I have I think we have pretty much the same movie tastes for the most part.
Yeah,
I thought
similar.
It was so lame.
You're way more into Billy Madison than I am.
Yeah. Well, I'm not apologizing for that. All right, a lot of injuries to get to here. David Wright has a shoulder injury. Start or sit this week. He might need a DL stint.
Sit.
Hanley Ramirez has a calf injury. Start or sit this week. He might need a DL injury.
Gotta sit him.
Bryce Harper should be back today. Start him.
Start him.
Carlos Gomez, expected back Tuesday. I'm starting him. Gene Segura, leg cramps, could miss a few days. Scott's already said sit him.
Just for performance purposes.
Right, and matchups. Yeah. Brandon Belt likely to return Friday. Felix DeBrant moving to the bullpen for Boston. So Brandon Workman, Ruby De La Rosa, that's good news for them. Carlos Ruiz is on the 7-day concussion DL. Toronto interested in Chase Headley, according to John Heyman. If Chase Headley got traded to Toronto tomorrow, would you go pick him up?
If I needed a third baseman, I might.
Yeah, I agree with Scott.
I feel like that could really change. Maybe I have this stupid blind faith in Chase Headley.
What?
But guys seem to hit better when they're in Toronto. Not just because of the ballpark.
What? And lineup protection.
Lineup protection would be huge. Yeah. And just getting out of San Diego might be good. Might need a change of scenery.
Yeah.
So if you want to be proactive and you can afford a bench stash, maybe that's a good guy to look at.
I mean, I'm not sure his back is quite right, and that might override all of that. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Dallas Keuchel missed his Saturday start with wrist inflammation, and he hopes to make his start this week. Start or sit Keuchel?
Sit.
Justin Masterson is going to start Tuesday for Cleveland against the Dodgers. Josh Reddick back on the DL with a knee injury. Vote for Steven. Steven Vogt. I think Steven Vogt's interesting in two catcher leagues.
He is. I almost picked him up in one where I own Gattis, actually, who you're about to get to here.
Yeah, Gattis might need to go on the DL, so you might want to sit him.
I'd prefer to sit him, but it was, you know, roster crunch. Do I really want to carry a third catcher when he's not on the DL yet? It's a roto league, so you can afford to take a zero a little easier in a given week. But I get what you're saying about Vogt. The minor league track record is much better than I gave it credit for.
Like,
initially.
if you picked up Chirinos, would you drop him for Vogt?
Yes.
Yep.
But you'd rather have, say, Darnell than Vogt?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, my thing with Vogt is I don't know how long he's going to play. He's been playing outfield with Reddick hurt. Now Reddick's back on the DL. I'm into it. I think I should go after Steven Vogt.
Well, remember, this guy had a heck of a spring training, and they had a tough decision to send him to the minors, and all he did was continue to hit. So,
right.
J.D. Martinez, part two.
Yeah, and it's not tied to Derek Norris. I mean, he'll play the outfield, I think, enough when Norris is healthy. But Norris is dealing with a back injury, is not expected to play until Tuesday at the earliest, start or sit.
I would probably start him in a two-catcher league, maybe sit in one catcher.
Tyler Skaggs could start this week at Chicago. Seems a little risky.
Yes, it.
Jose Bautista pinch hit, could DH this week.
Yeah, I'm starting him.
Yep,
Brandon McCarthy expects to be traded for what's that worth. Christian Yelich is back. Jake Marisnik and DeSclafani were sent down. Carlos Quentin remains out with a shoulder injury. Lance Lynn was pitching with a bad blister Saturday when he got lit up by the Dodgers. 6 earned runs in 2 innings. He couldn't throw anything but fastballs. Start or sit this week?
I mean, it's a one-star week, so he's the kind of guy I normally sit in one-star weeks. And I think Al feels vindicated after that Colorado start went so well.
Yeah.
And he recommended sitting him just because of that. Yeah, he had a bad start, all right, but that wasn't it.
That was a surprise.
Yeah.
Corey Dickerson left Sunday's game with leg cramps. Check on that one. Hopefully not too serious. Starling Marte returned to the lineup. We still don't know what Josh Harrison is going to do when everyone's healthy because McCutcheon sat yesterday. So
yeah.
It's just like, that's another guy. Harrison is available in one of our roto leagues, and I thought about dropping Eric Ibar for him. But I thought to myself, I don't know about the playing time with Harrison.
When Ibar, I mean, I saw him homer off Guthrie yesterday. He's just locked in for several weeks now.
Yeah,
so.
He's having a great year.
Nolan
Arenado could be back this week, but it's probably going to be later in the week.
Well, yeah, that was interesting. Was Walt Weiss says if he keeps sitting like he is on his rehab assignment, I'll push for him to be back sooner, but you do have to sit him.
And Albert Pujols has a swollen lymph gland near his right groin. If you saw him jog into second base and get tagged out, he's obviously in some pain. That's a scary one right there.
Well, he says it only affects him when he runs. He says hitting's not a problem, so he's just got to hit a lot of home runs then.
Okay, well, something he hasn't done lately. Dexter Fowler missed the weekend series with back tightness. Start or sit?
Sit.
Yep.
And did you see Philadelphia play-by-play man Tom McCarthy catch Freddie Freeman's home run when they were broadcasting in center field?
I did not.
It was very cool. He brought a glove, and he's on the air, and he made the catch.
Like, obviously he's talking at the time.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's like, oh, here he goes. Oh, they start freaking out. Then they were like, oh, wait, somebody just homered off the Phillies. We can't be too excited.
And they start chanting, throw it back.
Yeah, he threw it back.
Oh, nice.
He threw it back. It was cool. All right, two-star pitcher stuff. Taiwan Walker, Marco Gonzalez, Jeff Locke, and Jake Peavy were all in doubt as two-star pitchers, but they are all currently scheduled to make two starts. That's Taiwan Walker, Marco Gonzalez, Jeff Locke, and Jake Peavy. And it's taken us a while to get into the most added, most drop list, and the weekend standouts, because we had all that bullpen and minor league stuff. So let me just throw out Josh Tomlin. Complete game one hitter, no walks, no runs, 11 Ks at Seattle, 21% owned. He was really bad in his last three starts. So did this do anything for you?
You know, this was actually only his second quality start in his last eight starts, mostly because of innings. He tends to go 5 2/3 a lot. but the whip is low. I don't trust the strikeout rate entirely. I did add him in our 14-team, the podcast Rejects League, 14-team categories league, for a dollar. Didn't really bother to add him anywhere else.
All right. Jose Quintana, 73% owned. Probably the dumbest thing I did all week was sit him in a two-start week. At Baltimore and at Toronto, and he had a great week.
You and Al are the big Jose Quintana fans.
He's a good pitcher.
Yeah.
Does Al like him? I didn't think he liked him.
I thought every time I'm in here and I say I don't like Quintana, you guys are like, he's not bad. He's, you know, he's serviceable. So
right now his numbers look like, you know, Jose Quintana-like numbers.
You own
like
him just for the two-star weeks, Adam. What are you doing?
Not at Baltimore and at Toronto. That's tough. But Toronto's been cold lately, like really cold. You would have done it?
Well, it's easy to say in hindsight, but
yeah,
you know how I am with two-star pitchers. If I'm rostering them, I'm starting them.
Yeah, for the most part, I agree, but he was pitching poorly going into those two starts.
Oh, speaking about that, was it last Monday's show? Yes. Remember I said in two-start Jorge De La Rosa over one-start James Shields. You both said I was crazy. I said, this is how you win championships. I moved to 11-game winning streak because I made that move.
De La Rosa didn't pitch well, though.
He won twice,
well
didn't he? He got
he
two
won yesterday. I
maybe
know that.
He did.
Hey, 11-game winning streak because Jorge De La Rosa. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
A little bit part
getting
of it.
So lucky that he's winning games.
Two-start
week. If he doesn't win games, he does nothing constructive. Like, you're so lucky. All right. Let's just do the most added and most drop list here. Let me pull that out.
Can we talk about Chris Tillman?
Since he
was a good strong. No time.
There's no time.
Go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
So he's 2-0 with a .60 ERA in his last two starts. What it was is they were messing with his mechanics. That's why he was struggling for most of the first two and a half months. Right now he's saying he's getting better control of his fastball, throwing for strikes. It's giving him more confidence in games. Still, though, over his last two starts, 5 walks to 4 strikeouts.
Over his last 4, 8 walks to 7 strikeouts.
Yeah. So, Tillman, hey, look, it's been good lately, but the fact that he's walks more than strikeouts is still very concerning.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd rush to waivers to add him.
Nah.
All right. Number one, most added list, Josh Harrison.
I added him in our podcast league, the regular podcast league, had to hit points as a replacement for David Wright. I was kind of like you. I saw him available in a lot of roto leagues and thought about adding him, but just, I don't know, just couldn't find anyone to drop for him.
I mean, this week is going to be a big week. Look, if they make him the everyday shortstop, then, or just put him in there every day, then great. I just don't trust it. And the fact is, Mercer actually has been playing that badly.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. They're not going to bench Jordy Mercer.
Santiago Casilla and Jake Petrichka are 2 and 3. David Phelps is number 4, and I caution everyone not to get all Chase Whitley on everything and get this RP-eligible Yankee starting pitcher who's had a decent run, put him in your lineup for 2 starts, and get crushed. So, I don't know. It's a little dangerous to me.
I don't know. David Phelps, I wrote about this earlier in the season.
Phelps is better than Whitley, I just want to say. But
is he?
Yes.
Absolutely. He was facing some.
I kind of like Whitley, still.
Oh.
Chase Whitley sucks.
Phelps was facing some tough competition when he first got into rotation, and his numbers were fairly decent, and he just wasn't getting the wins because he was going against a lot of aces and a lot of good-hitting teams. So now that, I guess, maybe the competition's getting a little bit better for him, his numbers are starting to pick up, so which I like. But
yeah, I mean, he's okay.
Yeah.
But now these guys aren't great pitchers.
I dropped Whitley in probably all the leagues I picked him up in, except the really deep ones, because just didn't seem like there was any reason to hold on to him. But he hardly walks anybody, and he hardly gives up any home runs.
But it's starting now. It's starting now.
He gave up a home run in each of these two starts where he was bad. But one home run, I mean.
But you remember the Seattle game? I mean, I remember it because I watched it, whatever. He gave up. Cano was robbed of a home run. He gave up like three really deep fly balls. And then he had the start at Toronto, and then he had the start yesterday against the Red Sox. And Whitley just, I don't know. He's got a great changeup, but I think guys are getting on him early in the count because they want to hit his fastball so he doesn't get to that changeup. And I'm just not buying it. I really wasn't. I thought it was too good to be true.
Well, maybe it is.
And he pitches out of the stretch all the time, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well.
So there's that. Marco Gonzalez, number five. But only 16% owned.
Where's the other Marco Gonzalez? I think he's down at number 25.
I feel like I screwed up.
Yeah, you're right. There he is.
Be careful.
I screwed up.
I think I only printed out
the free agents in the league.
I have to do waiver wire. I said, oh, man, this is going to be tough to write this week.
Yeah, there's no way that he's number five.
Oh.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one is Jesse Hahn. Forget the last 3 minutes of the podcast, please. Number one is Jesse Hahn. Number two is Mookie Betts. Number three is J.D. Martinez. Number four is C.J. Cron. Number five is Danny Duffy. Number six is Jared Cozart. Hahn, Betts, J.D. Martinez, who's been staying in the lineup. It's been either Hunter or it's been Davis who's been sitting. C.J. Cron, homer twice Friday. Danny Duffy, two starts this week, 66% on. Jared Cozart. Thoughts on these guys, any of them?
I would say Martinez is must-own.
Mm-hmm.
Hahn would probably be my second choice to be must-own, especially going into a two-star week. Yeah, if it's a crappy two-star, if he makes a crappy two starts, you can drop him then. But if it's great,
have you guys?
This is your chance to get him.
Have you guys talked about Hahn's innings limit? I mean, this guy has never pitched more than 69 innings as a pro.
Really?
He had Tommy John. And he was drafted in 2010, didn't make his debut to 2012 because of Tommy John. Last year had some problems, only made it 69 innings. How many innings can they let this guy go? I mean, they're going to have to keep building him up, right?
Yeah.
Can they double it? Can he go 130 maybe this year and then just shut him down at that?
Maybe.
Because, I mean, everyone gets freaked out when these guys go, you know, more than 30 innings, and he already had Tommy John. So, like, could he be so that's my thing with Jesse Hahn. I like Jesse Hahn. I think you should pick him up now. He's pitching now. He's pitching well. But the thing is, I think long-term, he may be shut down.
Okay. Danny Duffy or Jesse Hahn?
I go Hahn.
Hahn.
Jared Cozart or Jesse Hahn? Oh, Jared Cozart or Danny Duffy?
Duffy.
Cozart.
Interesting. Brad Miller is number seven on the most added list. Miller or Asdrubal?
Miller.
I agree.
Miller or Hardy?
Hardy, yes.
You want to go in Hardy?
Hell yeah, Hardy. Are you kidding?
Miller.
Come on, man. Hardy, I've been saying it. He's got 17 home runs left in him. Big second half.
Oh, Brad Miller. Go, Brad Miller.
What's wrong with J.J. Hardy? J.J. Hardy is a producer.
J.J. Hardy, his whole inconsistent for 230 and power. I can't deal with the cold streaks.
Do you realize the guy you took over him, Brad Miller, and
yes.
You can't deal with the cold streak? He's been on a 75-game
yes,
cold streak.
At the beginning of the season, but as I said, you know, they said he was pressing, and now he's starting to relax. He's seeing more pitches. This is the Brad Miller we know. This is Brad Miller that's coming into his own.
I'm not sure the Brad Miller we know is coming into his own is even better than J.J. Hardy. I mean, more upside, but J.J. All right. You know what? If you want to take Miller over Hardy,
it's pretty close for me.
We had Brad
don't
Miller.
Don't discount J.J. Hardy.
We had Brad Miller as a top 10 shortstop at the beginning of the season. We did not have J.J. Hardy as a top 10 shortstop.
We had him like top 12 shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, it's close.
I didn't, but go ahead.
The thing is, I obsess over it sometimes, but I don't like guys who hit in the bottom of the lineup. And speaking of which, Andrelton Simmons is batting second over the weekend, except for Sunday. And Chinshu Chu is leading off again. So that's, you know, there's that. Steve Pierce, number 8. Josh Harrison, number 9. Jake Arrieta, 10. Joe Smith, 11. Taijuan Walker, 12. Mike Zunino, Santiago Garcia, Jake McGee, Tim Lincecum. Lincecum starts this week.
Oh, brother. Come on. Get out of here with that weak sauce.
Well, one of them is against the Padres.
Come on.
Even with Zanino's very strong week, I did not see people pick him up. So I think people are very – I think everyone rather see Travis d'Arnaud over Mike Zunino, and I'm with that.
Yeah, Zanino's a killer in a points league.
Yeah.
Strikes out all the time. Yep. Never walks. Lincecum, St. Louis at home, San Diego on the road. Start or sit?
Sit.
Number two on the most dropped list is Kyle Gibson.
Well, that's silly.
Well, you know, people probably did it after the first start of the week.
Yeah.
Seven runs and two innings or whatever it was.
Why is it silly, though?
Yesterday he pitched well, but he's not a strikeout guy.
He is who he is. He's very inconsistent. He'd drive you nuts.
I don't...
Gibson here.
Yeah.
I don't entirely
disagree
with you there.
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting the last names. My bad.
It's all right.
But... I don't know. The good starts are so good. It's like Henderson Alvarez. Like, I guess if somebody dropped him, I wouldn't absolutely for sure pick him up, but I probably would, if only for the two start weeks.
Who would you rather own, Henderson Alvarez, or excuse me, Kyle Gibson or Andrew Heaney? Heaney is also on the most dropped list.
Heaney.
Yeah, I really think Heaney's better than the numbers would indicate.
Yep.
It was one bad. It was 5 2/3 scoreless yesterday against the A's, and then three singles and a three-run homer. He's just like, he's close to putting together an awesome start. And the first one was pretty good.
And he's got two really good veteran catchers to work with, and I think they'll get him. You know,
I think Saltalamacchia is just... Saltalamacchia destroyed Heaney two starts ago at Philadelphia.
He made
a terrible throw that set up a big inning. He couldn't block balls in the dirt.
Yeah, but once they
throw out base
right, runners. But that was still he was just making his first or second start. Then I mean they got to get into a rhythm here. It takes a little bit of time, but they'll figure it out.
John Singleton is on the most drop list, down to 69%. What would your advice be regarding John Singleton?
You know, 69% sounds about right to me. I don't know that you go deep enough into the hitter pool in a points league that you need to own him, 12 teams or less. Roto League, probably do need to own him just because you need a corner infielder. Every team needs a corner infielder.
Yeah.
And I think he'll get better in terms of batting average, and the power we know is good. But he won't be like, at least at this stage of his career, he'll never get to the point where he's like, you can't take him out of the lineup. He's too good.
Really? I think he's got a little George Springer-esque in him where Springer was this bad to begin, you know, this season. And then he was, when he came up from the major, look at him now. I mean,
well, look, I know I'm going to get some flack for this, and I'm prepared.
But first base is deep.
George Springer stinks. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I I've never considered dropping George Springer. You saw what he was capable of, but he just, other than in May he was brilliant. He was probably the best player in baseball or close to it. But in June he's been like a must sit. He's batting .224, 5 home runs, 12 RBI, 1 steal. And the fact is, he doesn't steal any bases. He's got 2 this year. So it's really just been one like long hot streak for Springer. And other than that, I don't think we should be talking about Singleton like he could be Springer, like that's such a good thing. Because Springer really hasn't had a very good year, other than the month of May when he hit .294, .385, .647. That's just my...
I'm not disappointed with what George Springer's done.
I'm very disappointed.
Maybe we didn't do a good enough job explaining what we expect him to do, but you know, I think I said .260 batting average tops with good power. The speed, I guess, is disappointing.
Yeah, that's
been
a big part of it.
He's been .244, 15 home runs, and less than half a season's at bats. That's right on the money.
If I were going to project him for 30 home runs, fine, but it was a huge hot streak. I just don't know.
Okay,
and it depends how many. It depends how your league penalizes strikeouts.
Yeah. Go to the rankings, and you know this is a problem I've noticed, Scott. And you may have not. When you get past 60 in the outfield, it just gets really cluttered, and you're like, how do I rank these guys? And even in the 50s and the back end of the 40s, it gets tight, and it's just like these guys with George Springer. I'm going to start George Springer over most of these guys, and that's what you get with George Springer.
I probably have him a good bit higher than that even.
Well, I do too, but yeah.
I sit him every week in a league where it's minus 1 point for strikeouts.
And that makes sense, but that's a rare format.
Yeah.
Is that the 16-team format, you and Jamie? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm hoping he gets hot again so I can trade him.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is, in that format, power is rewarded way more than strikeouts, but if you don't hit for power, then, you know, you kind of left an alert there.
Like, would you rather have Chris Davis with a K or George Springer?
George Springer?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I like both. I check my rankings. I forget where I think, but I'm pretty sure I have Springer higher than Chris Davis.
Which format do you want me to check?
I have both the same pretty much, so.
You have Chris Davis 31st and George Springer 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That just seems a little high. You guys have George Springer basically as a top 30 outfielder.
I won't drop George Springer. That's what I'm saying. You have to own George Springer.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, you have to own George Springer. I just don't know that he's a top 30 outfielder.
But in 12-team formats, you're starting him. So
I don't want to overreact too much, but I think I'd rather have Gregory Polanco.
Sorry, I didn't know where I was going with that. Just make noises until something comes out good.
How do you guys feel about that?
You know, I mean, I could see it. I'm not saying it's the worst idea in the world. I mean, I think you're starting Gregory Polanco now in 12-team formats as well, right?
Yes. I get what you're saying, and part of me thinks that the skill set for Polanco is going to be far less frustrating in fantasy and could add up to more depending on your format. But he's been on the job now 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
When you're talking about in the sense of ranking them, I feel like I still need to rank him behind Springer. But I don't rule out him overtaking him.
Yeah. All right, just looking at the last 28 days. I wonder why Springer only has 80 at-bats. He didn't miss time, did he? You don't remember that. But he's a number 45 outfielder in Roto, which should be his better format. And that's, you know, most of June. So he's hitting 213 in that stretch, 363 on base, 413 slugging with 5 home runs, only 1 double.
See, the
one
thing,
steal.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to critique you or anything, Adam, but I think you're taking a fantasy football mentality here. Is where with baseball, it's just a marathon. So you just want to see the whole big picture, and that's what we do with George Springer. It's the big picture for us. And yeah, even the baseball players say cold streaks happen.
Oh, I know.
But
he's been up for 3 months.
Yeah.
And 2 of them have been bad.
I mean, he's still a young kid.
He is. I'm not dropping him.
No, yeah.
I have him ranked 31. I mean, he is ahead of Davis, who I've ranked 40th. He is ahead of Polanco, who I've ranked 37th.
But you have him 24th in Roto.
Yeah, I mean, Roto.
But he's not going to steal any bases.
He's going to hit for power, though. Power is harder to find than steals. Big power.
Yeah, but if an outfielder, unless we expect him to pick up his steals production, if an outfielder like doesn't steal any bases, if he's got 2 in 3 months, if he steals like 8 bases this year, you know, that's what brings down Cespedes' value in Roto too.
Whatever. Cespedes is still awesome in Roto.
I think the only person...
Yeah, he is, but... You have him ahead of Springer.
I think the only person Bo Porter trusts stealing bases is Jose Altuve. Because, I mean, that guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do emails. I feel bad. Let's get some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Spend some time here.
Did you expect us to talk for 5 minutes about Springer?
No, it's
started
been a
into this?
Much different show than I expected.
Okay.
Jeremy in Dallas. Dear Wilson, Betts, and Blaylock. I had to explain this one to Herc. Did you get it?
Mookie.
<Yes. laughs> For middle infield, should I start Mookie Betts or J.J. Hardy this week in Roto?
I would start Hardy.
Mookie!
You got to be kidding me. Yeah. We don't even know how much he's going to play. You can't be serious.
What has J.J. Hardy done in the last 2 weeks that's been noticeable?
He hits for like a decent average this year. He drives and runs, I guess.
I don't think they brought Mookie Betts up to sit him. It would be terrible for his development to put him on the bench.
Like, Hardy's going to have this random week out of nowhere where he hits 5 home runs. I promise you.
He's no Rad Miller, all right?
All right, here's an email from Chris. He says, "Hi, George, John, and Thomas." Another one I had to explain to Herc. Scott, you got this one? George, John, and Thomas?
You didn't know it the first time either.
It took me like 5 seconds. I was like, oh.
Oh, no. It was more like a minute.
No, BS.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
This would be the first names of the first 3 presidents of the United States of America. Big soccer game tomorrow, guys. Big soccer game. Which of these pitchers should I start this week? I'm under 500. I need a win. It's a points league. I'm guessing we just need one. Quintana versus Seattle. Carlos Martinez at San Francisco. Tomlin against Kansas City. Miguel Gonzalez at the Giants and home against Miami. Miley at Pittsburgh and at Atlanta. Brad Mills at Detroit and home against Detroit.
Man, I guess I'd go with your boy Quintana. He's got a decent matchup against Seattle.
That's what I would do. Scott? Wade Miley, anyone?
No.
I would probably say Miley.
Beeler.
Well.
Beeler.
Beeler. I mean, if I get old Miley, yeah, I think I would go Miley. I would.
Chris, you should probably sit Gattis in your utility spot. Angel from Milwaukee's in a points league. Drop Kyle Gibson. Pick up Duffy. Now I have Duffy, Shields, and Ventura. Are you okay with having three starting pitchers from one team?
Absolutely okay with that. But I think I would rather own Gibson over Duffy.
Yeah.
From Kyle, does Tommy Malone's recent success have any legitimacy to it, and what type of league should he be owned at this point?
I don't feel like the success has been that great.
Yeah,
I feel like he gets hit pretty hard most starts. It doesn't give up runs necessarily, but...
He's got a 3.79 ERA, 25 walks, 55 strikeouts, and 90 and a third.
That's whatever.
Deep formats.
Yeah.
That's fringy.
Two start
weeks. All the way.
44% own. From Charles, grade the trade. D. Gordon and Adrian Beltre for Troy Tulowitzki.
D. Gordon and Beltre for Tulo. I give that trade a B.
I give it a D for the fact
that
Beltre's been red hot the last 2 months, and D. Gordon is perfectly serviceable as the number one shortstop.
I completely agree. I don't think there's that much difference between Beltre and Tulo, especially when you've got D. Gordon as your starting shortstop. I love it, Herc.
All right.
Come on. Beltre and Tulo?
Yeah, it's not that much of a difference.
Tulo's the third most valuable player in fantasy.
When he's healthy. He's still waiting for that injury to come.
Maybe.
I love Adrian Beltre. I think Adrian Beltre, if people weren't scared by his age, is probably a early second round pick, like a top 15 pick.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Look what he's done.
I'm not doubting that.
Well, you know, he usually goes like late second round because, you know, people are always like, well, he's old, he's going to whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think there's that much. I think there's like a round difference between the two, and I love D. Gordon.
He hasn't hit for much power. I know he's hitting like over 400 in June or something, but four home runs.
Right.
I don't know where the home runs are for Beltre.
You figure it'll come, though, right?
Probably.
Let me tell you what's not going to work for the Rangers. Carlos Pena is your three hitter. Not going to work.
Ugh.
All right, a couple more. Michael in Oregon. I also watched Her on Saturday night. I too can say that it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I'm talking up there with Geely.
What is this, like a streaming? Like, is people tapping into our podcast before we put it out there?
Yeah, I tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
I need you to approve two moves. Someone dropped Eric Hosmer. I can either drop Pablo Sandoval or CJ Krohn for him. My team needs power. 7x7 categories. Would you drop Pablo Sandoval or Krohn for Hosmer?
Who's his third baseman if he drops Pablo?
I don't know. Let's just assume he has one here. Right. Corner infield or something.
I'll go Pablo then.
And the other one is dropping Oscar Tavares for a 15th round value in a keeper league for Chris Bryant, an 11th round value.
I would keep Tavares there. And I actually would drop Sandoval for Hosmer.
And Matt P. says, is now the time to sell high on Jose Bautista?
No. Just doing simple time.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be.
No, first of all, you got to wait for him to reestablish his health.
Yeah, that's I'm not.
The guy's got,
I'm
like,
not assuming an injury for him.
There's no reason to sell high on him. He's legit.
Yeah, what's his OBP like? 4.13 now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you very much. Long podcast today. Good stuff. Good stuff. I wanted to talk about struggling aces. We'll do that tomorrow. When Scott and Al are here, 11 games on the schedule tonight, starting at 7:05 Eastern Time. For Michael Hergum and Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. See you later.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Akbayani and Prince of Mukamaka, Maka, 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 Maka.